I was reading the Bible to discover God's will instead of God's character. And when I switched those things, I started just coming to read the Bible to my daily date with God. There's that thing again. I call it my DDG. But
DDG, that's awesome.
Once I started trying to discover who God was, the less I cared about his will. But then it was so ironic because the closer I got to him, the more he revealed things to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was kind of what I was talking about with relinquishing that control.
Founder and co-owner of Intentional Counseling, author of Glasses Off, Seeking God When Your Vision Is Gone, mom, wife, and award-winning business owner, we have the beautiful Sierra Lane Myers on with us today. I pray this blesses you, friend.
I believe God put a specific light in your heart for a purpose, for you to shine it into this world in a way that nobody else can, a light that is unique as the print on your finger. And our job is to take that light and go love people with it in this world. Everywhere you go, you have a ministry. You don't just have to be a preacher to have a ministry. Your light is your ministry. It's how you shine it at your job, at your family, at the dinner table with your friends, at the movies, at the park, at your apartment. Everywhere you go, you are made to shine your light. Do it. Be it. Love people. Be kind. Honor them. Honor yourself. This is Made to Shine.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Made to Shine show. As you just heard in that introduction, we are in for such a treat today. We have someone on whose book, I told her before this, I've literally just been devouring recently. We have Sierra Lane Myers on with us tonight, and I'm so excited because, Sierra, as we were talking about this before, the mission of Made to Shine is to remind every single person they have a ministry, independent of whether or not you're a pastor or a preacher. And from what I've seen afar, you do that so beautifully in all the spaces that you hold with, I mean, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a writer. I mean, you've done so many like counseling things too. Like, it's really cool to see how you brought your light in so many different spaces. So I'm so excited to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And we do have a tradition on the Made to Shine show, which you might not know, but it is we kick off every episode with what is your favorite quote and why?
Ooh. I'm just going to quote God. So,
I love quoting God. Let's do it.
He woke me up at 4 a.m. one day with just this impression on my heart, and he said, "It's not about you, it's about providing value." And it was right after I had finished the book and I was so nervous about actually doing all this PR stuff because I was like, "Lord, I'd rather be just writing and like not have to, I don't know, promote it kind of." Yeah. And he just was so clearly like, "It's not about promoting and you're not going to be facing an audience where they're going to be, I mean, people will judge, but the main point of my book through you is that you will provide value to someone and that the amazing thing isn't that you've like written this thing, but that someone's going to read it and they're going to do something amazing in their town or church or city. And so I was like, yeah, that's amazing. So that's a good quote that I keep in the back of my head every day.
It's so funny you say that. In your book, you write about like basically the weight of impact and how even if it's just one person and their entire life changes, like that's worth it. And that's being on purpose for God, right? Like that's living into your mission for God. And it's funny when before I wrote my first book, I was terrified of what other people were going to think of me. And I felt so silly. Like, what do I have to say? And so much imposter syndrome. But what I kept telling myself is like, Annie, have more courage to like put the seed out of what God put in your heart into the world than emphasis you do on what other people think of you for declaring that message. And that sounds a lot prettier than the prayer that came to mind, like when I was going through it. But it's so true. Like you have to get out of the way and just let God do his thing. And I mean, to take a couple steps back, because I think what's so cool about your story is that you weren't always this like full-time entrepreneur, full-time writer. Like you were in a marketing job, I believe I read about. And so I think so many people relate to, okay, you know, I feel like this calling, I have this dream, but I'm in this corporate job or I'm in this place I don't feel like I can reach for yet. So take us back to Sierra when like you were working your marketing job, you felt these pulls from God. Talk to us about what that was like.
Okay. So yeah, I worked in marketing at a tech company and I was always a creative and I always had like an entrepreneurial spirit, but you know, I needed the money. So I had a job and I got married and my husband was like, why don't we try you staying at home and I'll work? And I was like, okay. So I stayed at home and just, it was so hard. He had 70-hour work weeks and I had the kiddos and I'm just like, okay. So I kind of became desperate for him to be home. And so I suggested, I was like, hey, I'm going to take my entrepreneurial itch and I'm going to take your counseling practice and I'm going to expand it and make it a group practice. And so I hired a bunch of therapists that all have different specialities so they don't compete. Mm-hmm. And I found the space and that's kind of what I do day to day is manage the practice and all of the therapists. But so I got that itch out of me. And he's able to come home a little bit more, which is so nice. And then the book really came out of nowhere. I was a blogger and on the side, never full time. It was making a decent amount of money, but I was really just doing it to write and create images. And I felt the Lord tell me to stop in reference to the digital work. So I still was working on the counseling practice and raising the kids. But I ignored that prompting for over a year because I was like, no way can this be God. I've been building this thing since 2015. It's just now making money. It's helping people. I get to do what he's gifted me with. And so I was like, surely that's not from the Lord, but it never left. And so I was like, okay, I'll stop. And so I totally quit posting. For a year, I quit creating and posting and people left. You know, there's no one there. There's no momentum. Agencies don't pay you anymore. I'm sure you know. And so I just was like, okay, Lord, I gave it up. So now what are we thinking? And then I felt he just impressed that book title on my heart one day when I was praying for clarification. And it was so clearly like a book title, but I wasn't an author at the time. So I went to Amazon to buy it. So I typed in glasses off and I typed in the book and it gave me all these recommended books about optometry. And like when your eyesight is gone. And so I'm like, is the Lord preparing me for my eyesight to be gone? So then I'm thinking, I'm catastrophizing. I'm going one way with it. And then eventually, you know, we're here on the other side of it. But yeah, it was really out of obedience of letting go of something that was a good thing, mm-hmm. Maintaining some other good things, and then having a daily date with him to really figure out what he wanted me to do.
I love that. The daily date thing. I love that verbiage. I've never heard someone put it like that, but I love that. It's like daily dates with God, you know? Think, and something you break down in the book, which is just, I literally took a picture of it and sent it to all my friends because it was like, it was the triangle of a purpose, calling, and vision. And it's so funny because, especially with this younger upcoming generation, there's an actual term called purpose anxiety that people are experiencing. Like, what's my purpose in life? And the way you break it down provides such freedom that even like I was in Galatians the other night with a friend for Bible study and we were talking about Paul and how Paul says like we're all called to Christ. And I was like, what if people looked at their purpose as like our purpose is all the same? It's like being called to God and the expression of that is different. And then I was reading your book and I was like, oh my gosh. So will you talk through like Because I think to have these daily dates with God and to be able to follow a prompting, there has to be somewhat of a discernment between like the foundation of your purpose, which you'll explain, but then also like a little bit of clarity and vision versus calling. So talk to us about that triangle, because it was so good.
Yeah, I know it's from God because I actually don't learn in visuals. I learn with language. And okay. So he gave me a visual. Because most people learn with visuals, you know? So I'm like, okay, yeah. That's cool. But I've just always, I'm older probably than your demographic. I'm 33, but I've always struggled with having my thing. I just was always kind of decent at lots of things and I never really had my one thing. And so I was always nervous about calling equals career and I can't shift industries because I'll need to stay consistent in one in order to maximize my potential. And I'd just always been so nervous I would choose the wrong one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Lord, can you give me something fresh so that I can understand it for myself, something simple, and that I can share it in the book because I think it would be helpful. And so, yeah, he gave me a triangle. And at the top, he just said, God. On the far corner, he said Jesus. And on the other corner, he said Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, the Trinity, got it, you know. And then he's like, I'm going to parallel it to another triangle. So at the top, write the word purpose. And on the bottom, calling. And on the other part, vision. And I was like, okay, how do they match? And so he said, just as I am at the top on this triangle, I am all eternity, time, space, matter, that's me. From me, everything flows. Only then do Jesus and the Holy Spirit even exist. So if this other triangle, the purpose is at the top, out of daily communion with me, which is your purpose every day, you don't have to find your purpose. You wake up, your purpose is me, sharing me, loving me, learning me. Out of our daily date together, then only then will your callings and visions exist. Only then will they flow out of your daily purpose, because the closer we get to each other, the more I can trust you and reveal things to you. Mm-hmm. And so then I made a third triangle and wrote why at the top. So if purpose is the why we play the game every day, love God, share him with others. Calling is the where. It is not the career. It's the space on earth and where we can live out the why. And then the vision are the specific things that we do, the how, inside of the calling. So for me, like I figured out through a lot of introspection, my calling was to create. And I've been creating something since I were little. And I'm just a regular person. But I've always been, like even when I was 5, 6 years old, I was in the car always coming up with marketing jingles and pitching them to my parents. And like, I can't sing.
Which is not a natural thing to do. I could not do that to save the life of me. So
and I love doing that. And I created a t-shirt line in my 20s and I've created just all sorts of things all the time, businesses. And so I finally figured out, okay, I don't have to even get paid to be creative. I can get paid at whatever job I'm doing. But then when I have time on the side, I can impact others with this calling that I have of creating. So like this one book is a vision. It's a smaller assignment inside of the calling in the purpose. Mm-hmm. It's like a nesting doll.
Yeah. And I love that because so it's funny. I literally posted this real about this on my Instagram today, because for me, like you're marketing and tech, I'm in corporate tech sales. So very familiar with the tech space. But then I also like, I've written books, I host a show. And I'm such a big believer that like, God doesn't call you to just one specific thing. I think we associate our career with our identity and we box ourselves in. But it's funny because like sometimes I'm like, I feel too entrepreneurial to be in corporate, but I feel too corporate to be an entrepreneur because I like my corporate job. I love it. And I think, you know, I see God so much in my tech sales career. Like I wouldn't want to stop working it because I see God in it. And I think we have this predicated idea of where we think God can use us and where he can't. Like, it's got to be in the pulpit if we want to do ministry. But that's the purpose of this podcast, is to remind you, like, it's in everywhere you go, whether you're in your marketing job, your sales job, or you are a preacher or a podcast host or a writer or a counselor or whatever have you. I'm curious, though, like, when we think about, so it sounds like purpose, that's set. That's in communion with our Heavenly Father. Vision and calling, how and when does that start to change in your life, if at all? And what are kind of some indications that maybe God is calling you into a new vision or into a new calling?
I can use my husband as an example. So he's a little different than me, where I was always questioning and I had that purpose anxiety. He did not. So he got a word from the Lord. He prayed when he was 17 and he said, when I'm in college, tell me what I'm supposed to do. I mean, kind of like Joseph, he got a word at 17 and it was people. And so my husband's super decisive and doesn't think twice. And he was like, okay, people, counseling, that's what I'm going to do. Never looked back, never questioned it. And so I always think about that, like his calling, if he quit counseling, he would not quit the calling that God has on him, because he could choose to work in a nursing home. He could choose to be a doctor, physically helping people. He could work as a physical therapist, a dietitian. All these things help people. So the calling is so fluid there. And that's what I love about that freedom that you were talking about in the triangle.
And then and it's like you use the word create for your calling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just had to figure out, okay, I'm always coming up with something new. I'm always creating something all the time. And I know that that's going to be a part of me no matter what, no matter how old I get,
And
no matter what industry.
Yes. You said something too, which is you do it if you didn't get paid for it.
Yeah.
And I love that, because I think about things that like my first couple of books made nothing, but I loved writing them. They were for me, you know, they were for my heart. And I felt like if anything, God taught me so much from those books. And you think about like, what would you do if you didn't? I was talking about this with someone last night. It's like, what YouTube videos would you binge watch if it had nothing to do for like any sort of ROI? Like, what intrigues you? What makes you curious? I think God works through our curiosities. And those are such good indicators for like where we're led to. I mean, I think about you. I have no curiosity in my heart whatsoever about marketing jingles. That's never been a curiosity on my heart.
Sure.
That's your biggest indicator that that's a calling from God, or creation is, because like, I even think about this podcast, people would be like, what? You talk to people and they have cute dogs in the background and you do all this stuff. And I would never want to do that. But that's the biggest indication that like God called you to that. So I love that. And I think too, like, I want to talk about imposter syndrome, because it's something I've always struggled with. And there's this dance of, yeah, God's called me. Okay, cool. But it's not like there's just this download of supernatural confidence that stays with you forever and you never question yourself. So talk to us through the process of like, I know what it's like to write a book, the imposter syndrome that might have come up, or the times you question yourself and how you spiritually battle that.
I don't know where I heard this, but it helped a lot. I wish I could remember what book I read. It was a male and he's older and I just cannot remember who it is, but I remember the way it made me feel. And it was like, imposter syndrome is an indicator of good mental health, that if you don't have it, you might be a narcissist. And I just thought that was so good. And then what I took from that was, okay, so the initial one is okay. Like, okay, I'm doing a new thing. It may not work. I would be kind of delusional if I was like, I'm going to ace this thing, right? But I think the problem is if we stay in the imposter syndrome too long, and if we use it as an excuse. So once I feel like, okay, I have imposter syndrome because I'm doing a new thing. I've never done this thing before. So technically I am an imposter, right? Because I'm new to it. I'm a beginner. Then if I move through it and I don't allow it to paralyze me, then I can feel it every day. But as long as I work through it, I'm just mentally healthy.
Yeah. That's, and that kind of goes back to like the, when you were talking about your favorite quote, just like, it's not about you, it's about the value that you have. And like that mindset of like, you know, even it's like less of me, more of him. Right. And then when you think about imposter syndrome, it typically is wrapped up in ego. Ego is the fine line of thinking you're super great, but also not good enough. Like when you truly believe we're all made in the image of God and all children of God, then we're not above or below anybody. So, yes, you're trying something new, but I think people associate imposter syndrome with like the fear of being seen failing as opposed to failing itself. And you have a line in the book that I want to talk about, because for me, in the past, and I was like taught to do this with when I don't feel confident, it's like, okay, control the controllables, make a list, cross it off. Like that's how you build confidence. And you say, I can't list my way to heaven. And I love that. And then you talk about like things I can control, attentive to God's voice, my prayer life, the people I show up for, God's calling for my life. And what I love about this is because you call out two things. One, you can't list your way to heaven. Like you can't busy your to-do list way to heaven. But two, you shine light on what we should look at as having control over. And so talk to me about the dance. Like when you are not feeling confident and you do need to look at the controllables, why is it important to fixate on like the controllables you were speaking to with our prayer life with God versus like, I can, like I think about in sales, I can make this amount of reach out today, or I can, things that are inputs, but ultimately we're expecting an outcome from.
Yeah, I think mine was like an unhealthy relationship with always going to read the Bible to discover God's will over his character.
Ooh, wait, say that again. That was so good.
I don't know how to say it again. I was reading the Bible to discover God's will instead of God's character. And when I switched those things, because I'd read the Bible my whole life. I mean, I got saved when I was 5. And maybe 2 years ago, a year ago, I read 1 Thessalonians 5 again. And I was like, oh, he says right there, that's God's will. Pray continuously, rejoice in all circumstances, give thanks. And I'm like, that is the will of God. He says it in a sentence form. And so once I started just coming to read the Bible to my daily date with God, there's that thing again. I call it my DDG. But
DDG, that's awesome.
Once I started trying to discover who God was, the less I cared about his will. But then it was so ironic, because the closer I got to him, the more he revealed things to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was kind of what I was talking about with relinquishing that control.
And is that where, like, I just think about the person listening that, because it's funny, I just read a book called With. Have you ever read it? It's by, it's so good. I'll send you the information after this. Everyone's laughing because I've said this in every podcast episode, like read With. I'm sending you the information because it's that good. But it talks about how like basically there's a lot of people in this world that they try to work from God, for God, under God, but we're called to walk with God. And when you're walking with God, it's like you treasure the giver more than his gifts. And the irony then is when you treasure the giver more than his gifts, you have a heart transformation to be able to appropriately use the gifts he's given you and not idolize those. And so talk to me about that transition, because I think like even I love to get practical on this podcast because I think about my life right now and it's busy, right? Like there was a time where I had hours to spend dates with God, but now I'm like, okay, I got my devotional in the morning, but then I'm in meetings, meetings, meetings until 6 o'clock. And so how do you like, with all that you're doing, I mean, you're a mom, you've built a business, you've written a book. Like I remember there's a chapter in here you talked about working on this book while your family was watching a movie and like you find time for things. So how do you commune with God and make time for it, but not make it transactional and part of your to-do list?
I love this question.
Yay.
Because I asked myself that every day.
Yeah.
And so what I gave myself was 60 days to make a habit of dating God, and it could look different every day. The only stipulation was that I had to be present with him. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 5 hours. It could be a walk in nature with no phone, and I have to be thinking of him picking up the beautiful acorn or flower and thanking him for his creation, or it could be a deep theological study, or it could be a worship song in the shower. The only thing I said to myself was, I'm going to have super low standards and expectations for this, but I have to get in the presence of the Lord for 60 days. And no matter what, I did. And I still do it to this day. And it's something that now I look forward to, and it's just kind of habitual at this point. But yeah, it's just been like a precious, fun exercise. So that's why I coined that term. Because I write it in my planner. I'm like, daily date with God.
Yeah, you need to have some t-shirts, DDG. That's awesome. I'm curious, like, was a part of that heart transformation, I was listening to, do you know who Ben Stewart is? He's an amazing pastor in DC. He was talking about like delighting in prayer, and there's kind of two components of it. Oftentimes, desperation will get you to the point where then you begin to desire God's presence. And then the merging of those two leads to delight. And what sustains you in God's presence is you don't have to be necessarily going through a super desperate time, but you just delight in it because you remember it. And I'm curious, like, there is that component of like adding more time in God's presence or just focus on God's presence. Was there a subtraction of anything in your life, though? Like something you took off your plate? Or I'm thinking about, for some reason, like fasting. Like when you fast and your taste buds change, I'm thinking that for like a heart change. It's like, did you take off social media? Did you take off certain conversations with people? Or
I'm fasting right now. That's so weird you said that.
Are you? Which kind of fast are you doing?
I'm just fasting. For some reason, it's not like sweets, but it's kind of like I'll have a meal and then I'll want like something after. It's either like a little, I don't know, like a beverage, or it's a treat or a chocolate, whatever. So I'm fasting the things after my meal, which sounds really weird, but the Lord knows it's the thing that I have. So anyway, yeah, I'm trying to think. Did I give up things? I talk about boundaries in my book, and all of those things are what I gave up. You know, in the beginning, I gave up social media because Facebook was like the popular thing at the time. And so you'd scroll on Facebook, and I gave that up for an extended amount of time to read the Bible. I went through a season of not watching any television, no movies, nothing to build that habit of prayer and Bible reading. But right now, no, it's just been totally weaved into my life, which is really cool because I am busy. So even if it's like in the car, or I don't know, we just kind of have our own, it doesn't always look like a traditional date. Like sometimes it is a tea and a candle and the Word of God and my same highlighter and my same couch and our same special time.
We love a good creature of habit.
Yeah, but sometimes it doesn't look like that. So, yeah.
I love it. You do talk about boundaries, and I think that's so important. It's actually very, very timely for me personally, because what I love is you bring it around people, and you bring up Galatians 6, verses 1 through 2, which, brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in sin, you live by the Spirit, sure, swear that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. And I think what's powerful about that is, as Christ followers, we're called to love people, but there's a fine line between like loving others and getting caught in the tailwind yourself. And especially when we think about calling and vision, like, oftentimes we think we're helping other people when really we're being deterred from what God's trying to do in our life. So talk to me about the cost of not listening to when you should set boundaries, and maybe some like trigger points on where you should set boundaries when it comes to people.
Yeah, I had to let go of a toxic relationship myself, which is why that Gary Thomas quote is in there. But yeah, you have to. It's so hard because God loves people and is all about people. And I'm a textbook people pleaser. So for me, I've had to really work through the people aspect. I'm pretty good at not having media. I'm pretty good at a lot of things, but people is the trigger point for me. So I think if someone is consistently blaming you for their behavior and not taking responsibility, I think that that is probably a relationship that you can spend less time with. obviously the women that pull you closer to the Lord or who you want to invest a lot of your time in. And then the people that God has called us to help, that's a different story than building relationships. You know, he sat with the tax collectors and we know that. So I think for me, the struggle was, if God has given me this vision for this season of life, and I know that there are people that are actively pulling me away from that, that I've got to choose God. And that's super extreme, but that was just what he gave for me personally. And those were extreme circumstances. A lot of people are just going to be kind of in the middle where they're going to be like, yeah, I don't really know. Like, I don't have the same conviction you do about this thing you're trying to do. They're not toxic. God just speaks to them differently than he speaks to you. And so you can continue to stand firm in what the Lord is impressing in your heart and still have a relationship with him. But, you know, don't expect them to jump up and down and understand you, because they're going to have different convictions and things that keep them up at night.
That's so true. I was thinking about, like, yes, there are extenuating circumstances where you have to like cut that hard line. We will not speak anymore. We cannot see each other anymore. I think though, more than not, where most people struggle, I know I've struggled in the past, is when you do have a dream and you're very clear, well, not to use the word dream, when you're very clear on what God's calling you to do, like the next thing he's calling you to do. And it's the people closest to you that they, like you said, God didn't reveal their eyes to see that in you. And so out of a good heart, they're like, Annie, you're working too hard. Annie, come watch the movie with our family. Like, why are you writing? I don't understand. You're working too hard. This isn't healthy. You're too disciplined. Like, this is becoming obsessive. Like the amount. And so talk to me about that, because I've struggled with that with my own friends. Like, oh, you're not coming out again? What, to write another chapter of your book? You wrote one last week. Like, what's... And so what about when it's people that you can't necessarily be like, I'm never talking to you again? And in their mind, it's well-intentioned. It's coming from a place of love.
Yeah, I just had something and then I totally lost it.
If it's meant to be
said. I was just thinking, usually when the Lord speaks to you, like for instance, Daniel did not, no one around him saw the vision. He saw the vision and he started to fear and tremble. And the friends were like, you know, kind of, they felt the fear, but they didn't see Jesus. And we, today's age, we don't see Jesus with our physical eyes, but we still get those individual assignments from God. And so while our friends may be fearful of the Lord and in a healthy, respectful way, they're not going to be desperate on the floor, shaking, trying to please God and tackle that assignment. And it does kind of give you blinders. I mean, I'm totally with you. You know, I don't know that there is such a thing as work-life balance. And it doesn't have to be with work. It can be, you know, the vision thing that you're on. I call it the vision journey. The super practical chapter is chapter 8. And I kind of walk through exactly the steps that the Lord had me do. And in that, I'm like, everything he always speaks to me is usually strange. You know, the friends might be like, yeah, that's kind of weird. Like, I never would have had a title called Glasses Off. And with the glasses picture, it's just something he totally impressed on me. And usually the sense of urgency is like a 9 or a 10. And our friends are not going to feel that urgent at all. And we're going to feel super urgent about it. And so that's a practical thing. If your listeners want to make a little list and just write out all of their dreams or goals or things that may be from God, things that may be their own thoughts, and then just out in the margin, write a number, a sense of urgency that you feel to accomplish that. Like, does it align with scripture? Is it kind of something you wouldn't have come up with? Does it ever fully leave you? And is it a 9 or a 10? That is definitely a vision from God. And your friends are not going to understand that, because it's only something you can process with the Lord yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you got to protect that too. I think about, I love Paul. Paul's like my favorite writer of the Gospels, because I'm just like, if anybody I can relate with anybody the most is Paul, because he, I mean, imposter syndrome probably times a thousand. Like, he didn't walk with Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, he never physically walked with Jesus. And so I love how, like, when he got that direct download from God, I can't remember where, but he went somewhere for 3 years before he went to go visit Peter. And before he went to go visit, 3 years. Like, and I think, I mean, how I interpret that is like, okay, when you get a download from God, there's a time to protect that seed, because the seed has to first be rooted before it can grow to a fruit that can withstand the storm of other people's opinions and what everybody else thinks. And so there is a time, I think we live in this like claim it and receive it culture, you know, like if you don't speak out loud the vision God has for your life, like you're not serious about it. There's a time though to draw back and to protect that seed and to build. I mean, Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, she talks about this. She's like, I didn't tell anybody my idea for like 2 years because people would have called her crazy. And so there's a time to, I guess, like protect this. I mean, did you go through something like that? Or would you say like in that time, it's important to people to go back to that urgency kind of mapping that you just brought us back to, the vision journey?
Yeah, I would say that the first step is recognizing the vision for yourself. And then typically what I would normally do was externally process that with a girlfriend or my spouse, you know, like, oh, it did. And then with this little thing, that the vision journey, I call it, my step is actually to pray for confirmation. So just what you said, protect it. Just what Sarah said, don't talk about it. He was very clear about that being in the middle, because if I jump from receiving a word from the Lord, externalizing it with others, it could manipulate the vision into what I'm hoping it will look like instead of what he's actually trying to give me. So yeah, 100%.
That's so good. I also think too, when we think about the people we typically share with, they're people that are close to us. And oftentimes the people closest to us, I feel like, project their limitations onto us because they associate themselves with us. And so it's like, I mean, I could never do that thing. So Sierra could definitely never do that thing. Or I could never do that thing. So Annie could definitely not do that thing. So I love that. And I think like when we, I know we're coming up on time here, but the last thing I do want to mention is you talk about like with vision, there's this dance of learning from the past, but also looking forward clearly as you speak to. And it just got me thinking, like, what's the distinction between, I feel like the danger of looking back is a lot of times people stay there and they label themselves as whatever happened to them in the past, but there's importance to reflecting back. And then also the danger of looking forward is you stay forward and you miss this present moment. So I guess, how do you practically dance that line of like looking back to learn, looking forward to be inspired and motivated, but living in the now?
I see God sort of gives me like a hallway, and every door in the hallway looks a little different. Like the doors aren't bigger, but they're just like a different shape or a different color. And I can only walk through that one door before another one is unlocked. And so that's kind of how I wrestle with the future is, okay, I can only walk through this one step that the Lord has revealed to me. I'm going to continue to be obedient. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to have a pure motive. And in his timing, he'll reveal that door far off that's oval shaped now. And I'll go through that door. And then as the past, I think probably just daily prayer and metacognition, you know, thinking like, you can overthink. You can think too much. And you can finally be like, you know what? These are just thoughts. And the past is the past. And if I'm going to allow myself to be wholeheartedly used, then I have to be able to let God be God. And I can do my little part.
Let God be God. I love that. Like, ooh, I think I almost dropped my pen there. There was a line in the book about idols. And it was like, an idol is basically when a good thing becomes the ultimate thing. And I think we live in a world, especially this younger generation, where we're idolizing ourselves. Like we become the ultimate thing and we're trying to be God. And I know like that is an absolute everyday intention of mine that I have to release, because my like to-do list controlling type tendencies, I like to be busy. I like to have a schedule and a process. And what I run into the issue of is like, where's your surrender in your schedule? Like where is that? Because, you know, sometimes you're forced to surrender reactively, but I think real faith is when you do it proactively. And it's like, I'm not being forced to right now, I'm choosing to. And so I love that. I think that's so beautiful. Let God be God. And Sierra, we have another tradition to close off every podcast, which is I'm such a believer that like Jesus talks about having childlike faith. And I think there's so much to learn from children. And just like even child being kind of subjective, like any younger age, but considering we're talking to a younger generation here, what advice would some like your 20, 21, 22 year old self give current day Sierra?
Establish your daily date with God first. That's the most important thing. I know you hear it all of the time from friends in your church circle, but until you actually do it, it will not be real to you. That's the most important thing. And I would also say to be decisive.
Ooh. Why? What inspired that?
I'm someone who considers every variable. I consider every outcome. I have every color hue before I paint a room. And it's exhausting. And so 20-year-old self could have built a rocket ship by now with all the mental energy I've spent into not deciding. So yeah. I would say daily date with God and be decisive. Pick something.
Ooh, and I think those go together. Your daily date with God reminds you you're not in control, which allows you to be decisive, because you don't look at it as like this one decision is going to be the end of my life, right? Like I think we catastrophize. Am I saying that right? You said it earlier. Yeah. Okay. I was a psychology major, and that was definitely a vocab term, and I still didn't. I don't think I said it right. But we did. Like,
if you didn't say it right, then we're both saying it wrong. So either way, it's fine.
Let us know, Made to Shine fam, if we're saying it wrong. We make catastrophes out of decisions. And when you surrender to God on that daily date, that's when you're able to remember, okay, like, I am. And I don't know why this is coming to mind, but Mark, Jesus shows us this. He steals away in the early morning to be with God. And it creates that space before his day starts and everybody tries to get something from him to remember, like, I'm in a surrendered state. I can give because Jesus is Son of God, but for us, I can give because I'm not the giver. So someone else is giving me sustenance, so then I can give out. And so Sierra, thank you. Thank you for all you do and for what you're doing and inspiring people to do as well. You have such a beautiful and unique story, and it takes a lot of courage to go back and learn, also look forward and continue to learn, and then share it in the present. And so thank you for your heart and for how you're shining your light in all areas you hold.
And thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Beautiful friend, I hope that this episode blessed you and brought a smile to your day. Hey, if we're not already hanging out on social media, go find me on Instagram. I'm typically living in my stories over there. Or join my weekly email fam. You can find the links for that on my Instagram as well. You guys, I hope you were reminded from this episode today that you are a light and you are called to go shine it in all spaces that you hold. And if you love this podcast, I would so appreciate if you shared it with anyone that came to your heart. And or a review would help me so much. Love you guys. Go shine your light. See you next week.